Testing, 1, 2. Morning.
Welcome on this snowy, cold, icy day. Glad to see you here. Actually, more people than I expected. Okay, this morning, do we have any visitors? I don't see any visitors. Let's stand up and greet our neighbors and welcome them for getting here this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, David.
Yeah, but I think they told her not to come.
Okay.
She was here yesterday, I think she said. Hi, neighbor. We've spoken, but hi again. And I'll stop this time to shake and say hi to you. And welcome home.
You can do that today, can't you?
I guess. Okay.
Okay. Do we have any announcements that aren't that? There's announcements in the bulletin, but do you have anything else?
If it snows again, and I said something about a March snow and it came the first. Not much here, but if you look at my car, it was about that tall, okay. But I'm going to try to get here, no matter what. But come at your own safety. Wednesday, I guess Jade is one of the teenagers, but who has been coming on Wednesday? Some more have been coming to eat supper and worship. We said if the school is out, that day will take off. Or if they've already, I guess, if already announced for the next day, that would, because it would be bad, we probably ought to take off then on Wednesday night. Trying to keep people safe. And you can worship wherever we are.
That's right. And unless the roads get worse, we actually don't want to try to have news tonight. Nikki couldn't get off her heel this morning, but she texted me and said, please, please, please don't cancel youth tonight. Please,
okay.
Unless the roads get worse, please have youth tonight. So I promised her that we would unless the roads got worse. So we will have youth tonight unless everything's worse. Also, It was in the newsletter that was sent out this week that we had received $430 that you had in memory of Morgan's grandmother, Margie Williams. And I came into the office this morning, and we have received another $850 for the youth in memory of Marjorie's, of Morgan's grandmother. So she must have been a very wonderful, loved woman, and we graciously accept the gifts in her memory. Also, for those of you that don't know, we have hired, officially hired, a new youth minister. His name is Patrick Wilkerson. His wife's name is Chelsea. And they'll be joining us next weekend. They'll be here. I think they're coming in on Friday night. And I think he's a perfect fit. They're just really excited, and I'm excited about it for the kids and for him. And I'm pretty sure they're going to be at church next Sunday. So you guys welcome them, please, with open arms, because they're young, and he's a seminary student. She's graduating from Bethel, and they're very, very excited, but they're a little nervous too. So just make sure that we give the usual Jenkins welcome. Okay. Any other announcements? Okay. Let's take ourselves to silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worship. Are written in the bulletin. It is responsive. Good news is at hand. God calls us this day.
Repent and believe. Trust in the goodness of God.
Good news is at hand. God calls us this day.
Turn from death and despair. Turn from temptation and sin.
Good news is at hand. God calls us today.
The time is fulfilled. The kingdom is near.
Would you all stand for the hymn, We're Marching to Zion, number 555.
Lay that of the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, the children of the heavenly King, the children of the heavenly King. Speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Marching upward to Zion.
The last verse.
Then let our songs abound, and every tear be dry. To heaven worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion, marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Let's join in prayer. Lord God, your kingdom come. And Jesus said it was near, and when, Lord, you rule in our hearts, your kingdom is present. And we thank you that we can be a part of your kingdom, but we thank you for the hope that is before us, that great kingdom around your throne. Lord, as we come together to worship, we come in truth, we come in spirit, we come seeking to humble ourselves before you and be your people, be better equipped to serve you in this world. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of sharing the good news that Jesus died for our sins, and when we're forgiven, we can enter into that eternal kingdom. Thank you. Thank you for being with us this day. And thank you for your presence with all of those who are scattered. And Lord, every church of your people or every congregation, wherever they meet today, we pray for your blessings upon them, your spirit to flow. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus who taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Statement of faith this morning, the Apostles' Creed, is in your bulletins on page 16. It's also on the screen. It's in unison. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Our call to confession this morning. Together, repent and believe. The time is fulfilled. God's realm is near. Christ is present with us now. Come, bring your confession before God. Prayer of confession is in unison.
God, hope and help. Show us your ways. Lead us in your truth. Do not remember the sins of our youth or the sins of this past week. Even as we remember the error of our ways, We ask your forgiveness and your grace. Help us to know you so completely that we may walk in your path of the righteousness and live in the light of your grace.
Amen. The words of assurance this morning come from Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Our hymn of thanks for God's forgiveness is "What a Wonderful Savior," page 81 in your hymnal. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Would the ushers please come forward?
Go to God in prayer. Lord God, thank you for many blessings. Thank you for the resources to supply the needs of our families. Thank you for the privilege of supporting a church and supporting your work in this community and being a part of the preparation for your coming. Keep us ever mindful of the grave importance of being ready and having our friends and neighbors, even those that we don't know yet, ready for your coming through their faith in you. Lord, bless our giving and bless our receiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. Rather than Savannah singing this morning and leading us, Jade's going to sing, and we're going. I think we have the words on the screen, and so. Well, we had planned that with in her absence. Okay, and I guess we failed to tell her, but anyhow, but Jade's going to be the one there this morning, and we're invited to sing with her. And that was our hope all along, just for Savannah to lead us. Hear these words concerning the institution of the supper, and then we will join in singing this song of meditation, which seems so appropriate after the words and as we go into our celebrating. And we're going to do communion a bit different this morning with the small crowd. I'm actually going to ask you to come forward and just line up here in front of the church, and we'll serve you from here if you'll just all come forward, but we'll invite you at the proper time. Father, we're eating, and this is Jesus and his disciples eating the Passover, reading from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 14. And we've been reading the Mark chapter 1 and chapter 2 last week. We haven't got out of Mark in the last few weeks. And so I chose to read from Mark's Gospel concerning the institution of the supper, his account of it. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." King of all nature, all created things, above all wisdom, all the ways of man, you reign. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Laid behind the stone, lived to die, rejected and alone, the rose trampled on the ground. Is all of me, is all of me, above all. Kirk, if you'll leave it right there, it's crucified, the first word. There we go. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived and died, rejected and alone. Like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. You who believe, and I believe every person here has professed their faith in Jesus Christ in some way or another. You who desire to eat from His table, we encourage you, as well as invite you, to come and join us here at the altar. If you will, just line up across here, if you will. Melanie. Lord God, in remembrance of what we read about Jesus doing, we come to say thank you. Thank you for this bread. We ask your blessing upon it. And Lord, we want it to be for us. So important that we'll never forget that He gave His life. Jesus gave His life that we might have life eternal. So bless this bread and bless us as we partake. In the name of Jesus, amen. The body of Christ, broken for you and for me and for you. Body of Christ, broken for you and for you. Body of Christ, broken for you. The body of Christ, broken for you. Body of Christ, broken for you. Body of Christ, broken for you. The 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 body of Christ, broken for you. Lord God, sometimes we become squeamish or draw back when we think of blood and when we see blood. But Lord, we know that your blood was shed for a special purpose, for our redemption. You came to just give us life by allowing your life to be drained. Lord, you came to forgive our sins. And your blood was shed that might be a reality. We come today thanking you for your blood shed for us. And thanking you for forgiveness. And in your name, we pray. Amen. And the blood of Christ shed for you and for for me, and the blood of Christ shed for you, and for you. The blood of Christ shed for you, and for you. The blood of Christ shed for you, and for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you, and for you. Yes, the blood of Christ shed for you, and for you. The blood of Christ shed 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 for you. Lord God, thank you again. Thank you that you loved us enough to send Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you that you would come. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here in our midst today, in each of us. Thank you. Praise be unto you. Now, Lord, help us to live lives worthy of you and your love to us. Amen and amen. Please return to your pew.
Jesus came to Nazareth from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." The word of God for the people of God.
And thanks be to God. Somebody asked some time ago, or it was mentioned somewhere along the way, that didn't always know what the proper response to a sermon might be. And one response to that is sometimes you just, whatever God is leading you to do. And it might be different for different people. From our side or our vantage point, we can hope and dream and pray, and something may happen, but we don't know where the people are in their spiritual pilgrimages. But you know where you are, or God may reveal where you are if you're not aware, if you're not sensitive to your own self. And this may be one of those sermons. You may need to figure it out. Some sermons are probably as much information or just proclamation of the good news of Jesus. And the response might be, just be still and know that God is God. or it may be to claim salvation through him. So, I don't like to be one who dictates how people respond. Most of us, I think, are wise enough to figure that out. We're in the season of Lent. Grew up not knowing much about the Christian year seasons or the seasons of the Christian year, probably because we didn't go to church often enough in my early years, but as a minister in what we call the Reformed tradition, after the leaders of the Reformation back in the 1500s, we learned a little bit about the seasons of the year. The Roman Catholic Church had followed these for years and years and years, and somewhere, I guess, maybe 300 or 400 A.D., they set aside a period of time for Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of Christ, to celebrate a period of time for Easter, and we're pretty sure we got the Easter date right, except I talked to a Greek Orthodox person this week, and actually Savetta, is being from Russia, is out of the Orthodox tradition. Russia goes by a different calendar, church calendar, than we do, and Easter some years falls on the same day that it is for Western Christians, but back in the 1000s, there was a disagreement over the Pope, and they had two church heads, and we could spend hours and hours reading about that split even, and so you have the Eastern Church and the Western Church, and we're part of the Western Church, but there are many Eastern Church congregations in the West, or the Western Hemisphere, as we call it. So the season of Lent, and then Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday came about somewhere in the 900s, a celebration of our observance of the imposition of ashes. But really, I grew up not knowing much about that, and did most of my ministry, as not participating in that. But we have here in the last few years on Wednesday night service for Ash Wednesday. The season of Lent is 40 days from Ash Wednesday to until Easter. And this is observed by many as a season of fasting, a season of penitence or penance, in preparation for the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. Ash Wednesday is taken from, or the idea comes from, the Old Testament characters sitting in ashes and clothing themselves in sackcloth, or I guess we would, it was described to me as burlap, or a type of rough cloth that they would make sacks out of, and I grew up where they made sacks out of burlap. We called them toe sacks then, and you can still, I think, go and buy burlap at the it's a material store. Fabric store is the proper term for that, I guess. Am I right on that? I'm kind of grasping for a word or two here. But sackcloth and ashes, and when somebody had done something wrong or wanted to show they were repentant, and were repenting and turning to God, or that they were sorry for their sins, and I think go back to Job for this, and go to Jonah for this, they would go out and put on sackcloth and cover themselves with ashes, like, I'm lost and undone, I'm not worthy, I'm a dirty old creep. I guess mostly it was the men that did this. Don't read much about the women doing it. But anyhow, sackcloth and ashes. And the Bible never mentions Ash Wednesday or the custom of Lent. However, the practice of repentance and mourning in ashes is found in 2 Samuel 13, Esther chapter 4, Job chapter 2, Daniel chapter 9, and on. Ashes are used in, were used in ancient time to express the mourning or the sadness or the crying. And they would dust oneself with ashes or rub ashes over themselves to express sorrow, that we're really sorry for our sins and we admit them. Job chapter 42 is one place we find it. And he says, I abhor myself and I repent in dust and ashes. And then other examples are found in other books of the Bible. Numbers 19, I think I mentioned Jonah chapter 3, Matthew 11, Luke 10, and Hebrews 9. But some people in the New Testament church will not celebrate Ash Wednesday. And there's a good reason. They say the practice is not consistent with Scripture, and it is of a pagan origin. And they will quote Matthew 6, where Jesus gave a prescription for fasting. If you fast, don't tell people about it. Just go and kind of do it between you and the Lord, and don't make a big show of it, that you are doing something for the Lord. And so some people say, well, they really don't want to participate, and that's okay from where I stand. And but if some people want to express publicly their sinfulness, not brag about it, but admit that we are sinners and come before God for forgiveness. Those that interpret Matthew 6 as a prohibiting factor may be just a little off base too. Okay, anyhow. 40 days. Now, why 40 days? Well, read the Bible and you'll find 40 days mentioned over and over. I think Moses was 40 days. Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness. And somewhere we learned that there were certain numbers that were, they were called, referred to as magic numbers by some people, and 40 was one of them. 40 years wandering in the wilderness. The Israelites on the way to the promised land, a 3-week journey, and they wandered there for 40 years or 3 weeks thereabout. But 40 days leading up to Easter for Christians is remembering Jesus spending 40 days in the wilderness. And that's really the part of this passage that I want us kind of to focus on. Jesus' baptism, but we talked about that a few weeks ago. And following his baptism, the Spirit led him out into the wilderness where he was tempted or tested or tried, or where he went through trials for 40 days. Now, Matthew and Luke go into detail about the temptation. Mark, you notice, just mentions it and kind of moves on. His is the condensed version. A few years ago, Reader's Digest talked about putting a condensed version of the Bible out, and you have never heard, and I agree with these, you don't need to leave any part out. But we already have a condensed version of the life of Jesus, of the good news of Jesus. That's Mark. I mean, very short about the temptation. Matthew and Luke go into detail about it. So we already had that. But they were going to do something and make money off of it. I like to think of this season as a time when we give special emphasis to drawing near to God. Now, some say every Sunday ought to be special. And ideally, every Sunday is a Little Easter, we celebrate the resurrection. We may not emphasize it like we do on Easter Sunday, but that's a serious thought among some people. And it, I try to live with it part of the time, but every day with Jesus. Why would there be any day that we was not close to Jesus? Well, it's just kind of the way we are. And people stray from the straight and narrow, do we not? People grow lax in their commitment, their dedication. It's a hot and cold situation for many people. And some go to the extremes more than others. You know, pretty level. Boy, he's a solid citizen. Level. A faithful church person. You've seen them that steady as a rock. Well, they have, maybe their ways are kind of like this. But others, they get high as a kite spiritually. And then, but they bottom out about as quick. Now, it's good that they can get high, and maybe that, always that bottoming out gives them opportunity to come back. And the church may even encourage this. Christmas. Get high on the birth of Jesus. The church. Easter. Get high on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But then we even call in church circles, I guess, ordinary Sundays. Just ordinary Sundays. Yeah, are there any ordinary Sundays? Every day ought to be special in some way, but do we not need some high points? And go back to the Jewish faith. There were great days of celebration. And you look at a Jewish calendar, or look at a calendar that's got the Jewish dates on it. They had the Passover. They remembered when the Israelites were freed from Egypt. They also remembered when the Israelites were freed from the Babylonians. Is that Purim? Purim? Say it. Sometimes the tongue doesn't work right. Then there is, what's the one in September? Is it Hanukkah? When does that come? That's close to Christmas, isn't it? Not. Boy, it's bad to get extemporaneous. I'm sorry? Yom Kippur, that's in September, is that right? When is it? Who has a calendar? Okay. Some people never need to get extemporaneous. Why do I bring notes to the pulpit even? Why do I try to stick to them? Okay. You've just seen it this morning. Okay. But a time to draw near to God. A time for searching self. Oh, we ought to do that every day. Yeah, we ought to, but do we? Probably most of us don't, right? And then a time to repent. Because all sin and continue to sin and fall short of the glory of God. We're not perfect people. Time of making commitments to God. Time of renewing a commitment. And I think it's somewhat like a New Year's resolution, but sometimes they don't last very long, do they? And some of my other commitments to God. The church communities I grew up in, revivals in the summer. I'm sure that Steve, coming from Texas in the Baptist church, revivals every summer. Who else? Did Pennsylvania have revivals every summer? Okay, even it got up that far north. And Virginia, West Virginia, we all had that. Around here, we still, every once in a while, try to have a revival. What ends up, it's the preacher and a handful more come, and we paid a preacher a 3-week salary to come and preach to us 4 nights. And so that's I'm embellishing that one a little bit. But he only comes and preaches to the preacher, and the pastor has to put up with him all week. Now, that's awful. Forgive me, but that's kind of the way it is, you know. Get the best speakers we've got and around, and have 150 on Sunday morning and 50 on Monday night. And just get to the point of saying, And I don't want to go through this. It's people that we think, well, it's being judgmental, that we think need to hear the message. They, pardon the bad grammar, but they ain't going to come out but that one Sunday morning. So anyhow, hopefully it's longer lasting. Our commitments at Easter or Lent are longer lasting than our New Year's resolutions sometime. We're on a journey, if you will. Can we just think about it being a journey? We're on a journey to Easter. And Easter, do I need to say that that's a big day for Christians? We put a lot of emphasis in the Easter. Some churches have a breakfast and have all the trimmings that go on the Easter service. To get there, we pass by Calvary and the cross. I think I mentioned that and dwelt on that one Sunday a few weeks ago. Hopefully, on this journey, during this time of reflection and special emphasis on our spiritual life, hopefully we will find some things that we need to know as we go to Calvary. Some helpful things that we pick up along the way to Calvary and to Easter. In this lesson, we can find that it's a wilderness journey. A wilderness journey. But Spirit-directed. You know, every time in the wilderness or every tough time in our life might not be void of the presence of God. And we've got the example of Jesus here, a wilderness experience. But how did he get there? He was directed by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, out into the desert. But it was tough. If you go to Matthew and Luke, the devil was there with three great temptations. Many, many temptations we experience. So maybe the Spirit is directing us to a time of reflection where when we remember, we say, oh no, it's kind of depressing to remember our sin, is it not? I remember James Kennedy emphasizing that we try to forget. We do kind of psychologically forget a large portion of that which we've done wrong. And every once in a while, God will bring them to our mind again, or Satan will bring them to our mind and say, you're really not forgiven of that. And you have to go and claim the blood of Jesus again and say, Lord, I know you forgave me. Your blood covers it. Be gone, Satan, we need to say. Many temptations, and I think it's a dangerous journey. We may get to the point of, oh my goodness, have I been too bad? Hopefully not. Satan is there, and I thought of Ephesians 6, where the Apostle Paul says we're not fighting against men, but we're fighting against principalities and powers of the spiritual realm, not flesh and blood. Jesus experienced wild animals, and it might not be, you know, like wild animals as we think of it. There's a lot of wild things out there. People, maybe even, that are animalistic. Beast, if you will, that we need to deal with. Temptations, many temptations, but they're also angels. That's the good part, isn't it? They're also angels. At this time in the garden, it readied Jesus to preach. It readied Jesus to preach. And what did he preach? The kingdom of God is near. He preached repentance. And he encouraged the people to believe the good news. And then we've already, in the past few weeks, gone over some of his preaching and some of his healings. Because we went back to the first part, or the early part, of the first chapter of of Mark. And then there was a way out of the wilderness. And he went on his ministry. One problem that the church has, I think, is we get to Easter and we celebrate, and then we just, we're tired. And we give it up for a while. And then the Sunday after Easter is low Sunday. Right. Can't find 50% of those people that were here on Sunday. That's not you, but let's pray for those others. And Jesus provided a way out of the wilderness for us. And if it's your sin you're dealing with, Jesus has paid for it. Confess it. Ask His forgiveness. Claim His broken body and shed blood. Amen. And amen. Guide me, O Thou great Jehovah. It may be to respond, just make a suggestion, extemporaneous thought. The best response we might could make this morning, having been to the altar, the communion table, is just allow God to lead us. And seek His leadership, or present ourselves before Him for Him to lead through this time as we approach the celebration of the resurrection from the dead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Stand together and sing. Let's sing the two verses, the first two verses. Guide me, great Jehovah. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain with the healing stream that flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me on my journey through. Strong deliver, be Thou still my strength and cheer. Go carefully but boldly on the journey to Easter. Blessings upon you. You are dismissed.